Are you ready? Indianapolis. The time has come. The bell has rung. Get in your seats for School Talk. I'm your host, and my name is Emerson. This is School Talk. You have tuned to the right station at the right time. Sometimes we make the wrong decision, and that decision can change our lives forever. Today you will make another decision, so make the right move and jump on the bus. Here it comes! Woo! School Talk has arrived. Come on, let's go! On School Talk, we deal with issues. Issues that involve you, the student. Issues that involve you, the parent. Issues that involve you, the teacher. So get your pen, or your pad, or your personal planner. We're going to take notes. There will be a test. This is School Talk!
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. My name's not Emerson. And Jeremiah, you're not either.
Yep.
But welcome to School Talk. Hey, 244-9234, that's our number, but you can't call in because I got somebody. Emerson, where? I got somebody on the phone.
We got
a guest.
Phone.
Uh-oh. That mic's already doing that thing again. All right, we'll move you over to two here.
There we go.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good.
Okay,
how about
let's
you?
Do that again. Yeah, we got somebody on the phone.
We got somebody on the phone, brother.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan is with me now.
That's right.
244-9234 is usually our phone number. We also encourage you to email Emerson at schooltalk1@yahoo.com. And also, we have a brand new Twitter account just created yesterday. That is at WBDG School Talk. You know, I was thinking, we've been on 15 years. Twitter's been around, what, 10? And we haven't had a Twitter account for School Talk.
Something like that.
We now have a Twitter account for School Talk at WBDG School Talk. And our producer is in here, Daniela. She apparently had a family thing that she had to do. So
yeah.
We hope everything's okay with her. And so we're both kind of pinch hitting too. Damon can come in too if you wanted. He was at the door. This is the way this show works because there's always people bum rushing the show and
yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. So we appreciate all that. You can come in, Damon, if you want. Come in and be on the show. All right. We've got a guest on the phone. As I was driving in this morning. That's right. We only have one microphone. I forgot about that detail. Well, we can try that one. It just didn't seem to like it when you got really loud.
Probably.
Okay. So don't be so loud, Jeremiah. But we have a guest on the phone. We'll get to him in just a second. But this was kind of interesting driving in this morning, and I was going to talk about this. You know, I typically go to a fast food establishment to get breakfast. And as I was pulling up, the person in front of me, he had his order was still up. I assume it was a him. His order was still up on the screen. You know, they have the verify your order screen.
Yeah.
And then you verify your order, and it's never right. But it's on there. And the guy had 10 sugars and 10 creams in his coffee.
That sounds about like me.
That sounds exactly like me.
10?
But
when you think of the coffee, though, I mean, it's...
Oh, like a coffee. This
right.
Big? Is it like just like coffee. Sugar packets, or is it just like a sugar cube?
That, I don't know. You put 10 sugars and creams in the coffee. I always thought that was a little bit much. But anyway,
that was,
for me, when I make coffee...
See, it's cutting in and out again.
For me, when I make coffee, I fill my mug about a quarter of the way up, and then... My key is I pour milk in there until it's about 75% full, and then I take a big container of sugar, I open it, and then I just pour it into the mug, wait until my arm gets tired, hold it for like 10 seconds more, and then I'm good.
All right, that explains a lot. Anyway, but we talk about sugar. Our guest is on the line. He's like, man, it's been 5 minutes. They haven't gotten to me yet. But this is what we always do on School Talk. We got to make small talk to start with.
Always small talk.
And now, as you know, it's time for that thing. We like to call it that thing on the war. What's it called?
The big board.
All right.
What's on the big board, Jeremiah? Hopefully your mic doesn't cut out on you here.
Well, anyways, as you don't know, or if you're sleeping under a rock and you go to this school, Ben Davis Giants won the ISAA 6A state champions. Congrats to the Ben Davis Giants.
Yeah. We're going to push the button.
Always. Always.
Pushing the button for him. Congratulations to Coach Kirstner and the Giants. They'll actually be on School Talk next week. So set your Swatch watches for that. Also, coming up tonight, we have Ben Davis basketball. Lawrence North at Ben Davis. It's a girls' game here at Ben Davis at 7:30. Tomorrow, the boys, who are the defending state champs from last year, they take on the Southport Cardinals here at Ben Davis. And, oh, by the way, we have a little thing called Winter Break coming up December 23rd through January 8th. Nobody's looking forward to that, are you?
I'm looking forward to it.
Winter Break.
All right. And that is what we like to call
the Big Board.
All right. Now we're going to turn to our guest who has been waiting patiently while we talk about stuff and things on the phone. It is the one and only, the Indy Star high school expert, Kyle Nedenrib, joining us. Kyle, how are you this morning?
Hey, real good, guys. Thanks for having me on. I was interested in the coffee talk, so I was just sitting back. I thought I was doing it wrong or something. You guys put a little bit more sugar in, sounds like, than I do, but maybe I'm doing it wrong.
So, Kyle, was that you in front of me this morning? Did you put the 10? I just thought that was amazing. 10
that
creams and 10 sugars.
I don't even know if you could taste coffee after that many sugar and creams.
I don't think the people want to.
Rush.
There's like a mountain of sugar at the bottom of the cup, you know, in that case.
Yeah, that sounds kind of gross, actually.
Yeah. Well, I apologize. Emerson couldn't be here today. He's got a family thing he had to take care of. Nothing serious, but he told me this week that he couldn't be here. So he was sorry because he was looking forward to talking with you today, Kyle. So we'll just say Emerson's on assignment this week because, you know, that's what they always say on the big time TV news shows. It's like, good evening. So-and-so was on assignment. And so Emerson,
yeah, whenever they say that, I imagine they've got their notebook and they're studying for a test or something. That image was always in my mind when they say that.
They're actually doing a project.
Yeah.
would it make up for the fact that Emerson wasn't here if I talked really quickly and incoherently?
We already did that this morning. We already tried that. You heard the intro. That's kind of how Emerson is. Anyway, we appreciate you being here. Kyle, appreciate you calling in this morning. I know that you had thought about being in here, but you're so busy. You're always working on things. So tell us about yourself and just a little bit of your background.
Yeah, and I wish I would have liked to have been in there, but this is the next best. And I appreciate you guys having me on. This is really cool and glad for the invite. But, yeah, I mean, a little bit of background, I guess. I've been in my current job. It'll be 10 years in the spring, so pretty much 10 years at the Indy Star covering high school sports for the most part, along with, you know, doing some other things here and there, you know, helping out the 500 coverage or, you know, helping out NBA stuff once in a while or college stuff. So get some other things thrown my way. But for the vast majority, you know, covering high school and, you know, for the most of that, it's probably football and basketball, but also, you know, try to find good stories in other sports as well and tell as good of feature stories as I can find or if there's a trend story somewhere. Before that, I was in Springfield, Missouri. That's actually where I went to college at Missouri State University. Covered a college and high school sports there at the daily paper, the Springfield News Leader, for about 8.5 years. Part of that, I was at college for about 2 years and working part-time at the paper and then got hired full-time about a year after I graduated. So I had a good experience there and did a lot of different things. It was a smaller paper, but still a decent size, mid-size daily paper in Springfield. And then, you know, had the chance to get to a bigger city and bigger paper my wife's side's from the St. Louis area, so still not too far from home for her. And she got a job here too. So we really like it here and have two kids. One was born in Missouri and then the other one right after we got here, was born in Danville. So, you know, we're pretty happy here and I enjoy my job a lot and we enjoy living here.
I did find a bio of you on the internet. It was your CrossFit bio. By the way, so we know you're into that. But also, it said that you grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I went to Lincoln East High School and played three sports in high school and basketball, football, baseball. I went to Missouri State right after that. But, I had my dad and I had season tickets for Nebraska football for a few years. And so that was a big part of my childhood was Nebraska football, which, you know, they at that time were, you know, it was them and Oklahoma, you know, every year battling for the conference championship and the Big Eight. I still follow them, not as closely anymore, but they're not as good anymore, so it doesn't make it quite as fun. But Nebraska football definitely is something, you know, close to my heart for sure. And my dad still has season tickets. And when I'm back there, I try to get to at least one game a year. This year, I didn't make it to one, but we did last year. They came to IU, and my family came out, and we went to that game. So always fun to still follow them. And, that's like I said, a big part of growing up is thinking about that.
Kyle Nedrup is joining us from the Indianapolis Star. He's the high school expert for the Star. That is pretty much your title now, correct? The high school, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on, is media's converged. It seems like you're doing more than just the high school writing now, but what is your exact title at the Star?
High school insider. They kind of branded the different beats as an insider, which kind of allows, or maybe doesn't allow you, but it kind of gives you the freedom to maybe write a little bit more column style. I don't do that a lot. I do once in a while. I try to take an angle on that more, you know, when kind of season preview stuff. I did like an A to Z column, and so you kind of maybe have a little bit more license to give your opinion more than we used to. So, for example, the Stephen Holder's the Colts insider, just different beats are branded as insider now for whatever that's worth. Not a lot, but it's just a different way of branding what your beat is.
Kind of going back and talking about growing up in Lincoln, I've spent some time in Knoxville, Tennessee over the years, and it's, they're kind of going through some struggles too with their football program down there. But it's pretty amazing. Those size towns or those size cities, because they are cities. It's amazing how they pretty much shut down on college football Saturdays. I don't, here in Indianapolis, we don't really have a college football team that's here in our city. You know, you've got IU in Bloomington, you've got Purdue, you have Michigan, people that are loyal to Ohio State. You know, it's just like our baseball loyalties here in Indianapolis. Since we don't have our own team, it kind of spreads out between the Reds, the Pirates, some people, the Tigers, the Cubs, of course, the Cardinals. So it all depends, and I probably forgot half the teams there that people root for in Indianapolis. But what is that like to live in a city where, it's all about Nebraska?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I get a online subscription to the Omaha World Herald, and they cover Nebraska football 365. You know, it's not an in season thing. I mean, it's all the time. You know, it's a fishbowl, and it's hard to explain to people. And I would compare it somewhat. The passion level and the fan interest. I've lived in three places in my life, and Nebraska football, is unique. But when I lived in Springfield, Missouri, the St. Louis Cardinals are the thing. You know, it's on the radio. It's what people talk about. It's dominant. In some ways, even more so because you get 162 games. There's always something. You know, there's always a game the next day. There's always something going on. And you know, living there, I kind of became a Cardinals fan just because that's what's in your blood when you live there. They got a double-A team down there a couple of, probably 10, 12 years ago and only added to that. But I mention that because Nebraska football is similar to me in the passion of the Cardinals. And when I came here, I think it's similar to IU basketball, and just the interest level, the passion for it, living and dying with everything that happens, the ups and downs. And so those three sports, they're all, different sports, basketball, baseball, football, but the passion level to me is very similar. And growing up in Nebraska is a little different. Like you said, there's nothing, you know, there's no pro team in Nebraska, so that's it. I mean, and the Nebraska basketball's never been great. You know, Creighton basketball has gotten better in Omaha there, but they're not. It still doesn't rise to that level. So it definitely is unique. It's hard to explain to people what exactly that's like. I mean, I remember crying after tough losses to Oklahoma when I was a kid, and you just. There were so many heartbreaks, and then, you know, after years and years of losing at the end of the season to Oklahoma, and then they finally broke through and won a national championship when I was a junior in high school, and it was like a, you know, a statewide celebration. You know, it was a, yeah. Everybody came downtown in Lincoln, and it was just a huge party, and you know, those are things that you really remember, and that's kind of what makes, you know, makes sports fun, and you know, is definitely something that's I grew up with and still, you know, still remember very fondly.
Kyle Nenrip is joining us here. He's the high school insider for the Indianapolis Star, and the great newspaper here in town in Indianapolis. And Kyle, where did your passion for journalism come from? Where did that start?
That was something that interested me.
Probably reading, reading when I grew up. I had a paper out when I was a kid, and I would. As I would fold, I had about 45 papers. You go up to the top of the block where I lived and pick the papers up off after the truck dropped them off. And I'd bring them back down to my house and watch Flintstones and fold the papers and read the paper as the sports page before I would fold them. So, you know, that's kind of where that started. I loved to read, you know, first of all, as a kid, I was always read and mostly sports, but, you know, you pretty much pick up anything and read it. So I think that's where that. I just had a love of reading, I had a love of sports, the two combined, and, you know, I worked for my, quote unquote, worked for my school paper in high school. I wrote some stuff, and really kind of, I was not a great student, and I wish I could go back and work harder at school, because I didn't do a very good job in school, but that was one thing that I really loved was that newspaper class that we had at the end of the day. And, you know, they gave me let me have a column to write, and I would write about, I remember writing about when Michael Jordan went to play baseball and you know, stuff like that. You know, and I wrote a lot. I had a couple different beats in high school and did what I could. And then I went on to college at Missouri State, and I really lucked into a great beat there covering the women's program, which had Jackie Stiles at the time, who she went on to be the all-time NCAA leading scorer. And I had no real background covering women's basketball, but I walked in there and there's 7,000 people. They were top five in the country in attendance, and it was a great beat to have. And she, you know, she was just a shining star, you know, at the time. And they went to a Final Four a few years later. And so that kind of fun stuff to cover only built my interest. And it was really the only thing I felt like I was good at, and I kind of just, once I started doing that in college, I was like, you know, this is probably what I want to do moving forward. So I got an internship at the paper there, the daily paper, and it kind of just went from there. I wasn't writing necessarily that much, but I did design work. I designed the sports section on Sunday nights for the Monday paper. You know, Monday I'd come in and take phone calls. Tuesday I would do copy editing. So just anything, you know, I basically said yes to anything they wanted me to do just to get my foot in the door. And then down the road had some more opportunities to write, and it just kind of went from there.
Kyle Nenrip again joining us here on School Talk with Emerson. I'm not Emerson. My name's John Easter. I'm joined also with Damon Phillips and Jeremiah.
Hello.
What's up, Jeremiah?
Nothing.
We're here on Giant 90.9. Yes, Damon.
Something that I realized, I've heard this before, that if that's asked a lot to a lot of college students, some high school students, but then again, there are always some high school students that don't really think about it. It's always, if you could do anything you wanted to do and money wouldn't be an issue, what would it be? So really for you, it became that this is one thing I really enjoy, and it's something that I can also turn into a career rather easily. So is that really what it just became for you? It was, you had that opportunity and you took it as best you could?
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I wasn't it wasn't a great student. You know, I found that this was something I, you know, enjoyed though. So I, you know, at that point when I got into college, you know, I started really focusing in, and I became a better student as I got into classes that I liked more, and ended up being an English minor, a journalism major. They didn't even have journalism as a major until I was, a junior at Missouri State. And, you know, so I pretty much knew what I wanted to do at that point. And I told the sports editor there at the newsleader that, you know, anything you wanted me to do. And I told him I wanted to write. But what really helped me, I thought, was copy editing, because I would have to read stories basically in that job. And you would have to fit those stories for the slot in the paper. So a lot of times you'd have to cut stories here and there without, you know, killing the meaning of the story, and, you know, find different things to cut out. Then you put the headline on it. And, you know, really, I think that was – it wasn't what I wanted to do at the time, but doing that, I think, helped me become a better writer and see what good stories were. I was reading, you know, stories from so many different types of writers, and I really – Michael Presty was a guy. Actually, he was at USA Today. Wrote columns, and I loved reading his stuff. And of course, he's an Indiana native. He's from Richmond, and now I run into him time to time and talk to him a lot. So that was really cool to get the chance to meet him when I moved here. But he was somebody I read, and you know, guys like that, the more you read them, the better you become as a writer and a reporter, I think. So, you know, that kind of inadvertently maybe helped me, you know, become a better writer. I still don't feel like I'm the best or anything like that, but You can always be learning, and I feel like that's the case for anybody, no matter how far you are into your career.
I do have a quick question, really quick. So, other than like sports, like kind of like that, like makes you want to write, and being in, you know, the Indianapolis Star. One thing is that I wanted to ask, instead of doing sports, and what other stories would you do other than like sports? Like something about like maybe like a review on a book or a movie, or even like music wise.
Yeah. I when I was in high school, I had a chance to do some of that stuff. And even now, those are, you know, a lot of, you know, there's definitely times where you get sports fatigue. And, you know, I don't necessarily write stuff that's not sports related. But, you know, some of the stories I like to write are, you know, have a very small sports angle to them. They're more, you know, there's been several. But one I can think of is Perry Meridian, you know, cross country runner last year, who had a brain tumor. And you know, she was after talking to her and her family, she was just so inspiring. And the fact that she was still going out for the cross country team, didn't even tell her teammates. A lot of her teammates didn't even know she had a brain tumor. So that story and ones like that are, you know, ones that I'm writing about them because they are sports related, but don't even have that big of a sports angle to them. It's more about, you know, telling the person's story and kind of what makes them tick than, you know, the X's and O's of a game or a sports event. So, you know, those are, you know, that's an example. It's not exactly what you're asking necessarily, but there are, you know, I think you don't want to lock yourself into, you know, writing game stories. Game stories are in reality a pretty small part of what I do. And I know a lot of people, you know, when I talk to, you know, family members or whatever, they, you know, what are you covering now? Or, you know, and, you know, a lot of times, and I understand that, you know, you don't, you know, it is part of what you do is covering games, but to me, that's a very small portion of what your job should be.
That's interesting what you bring up there, Kyle, because I do have a little journalism background myself. I on the side, I was working as a teacher for a while. Well, I've been here for about, I've been doing that now for about 20 years or so, but also, I got a job on the side writing for the Mooresville Decatur Times for a while, which is a small newspaper out in Morgan and Western Marion County and Southwestern Marion County for Decatur Township. But my beat, quote unquote, was to cover the Decatur School Board and the Decatur Township Civic Council, I would get articles out of those meetings. So one of the coolest things that I can remember ever doing was a story on a headstone that had been found in a park. And the headstone had, nobody really knew where the headstone came from. And so I got to go back and do some old research and dug into Indianapolis history and come to find out that the place where this headstone was found was once a family farm. And it was the justice of the peace of the area's farm. And on that farm, they had a cemetery. And apparently this headstone had, because of erosion and things, it had fallen down a hillside. And it was kind of like but it was mysterious because, you know, the other headstones were either gone or had disappeared, but was able to find this individual who the headstone belonged to in the history books. And I got some feedback from actually his current ancestors current family who were he was an ancestor of. Descendants. Thank you.
Right.
tells you I'm so genealogy, so much genealogy there. But it's just really fun when you can take a story like that and just go a different direction. So
I love that story. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That sounds like something I would pick up and read for sure. I love stuff like that, especially you know, there's a lot of stories that I do that have a history angle to them, just because, you know, if there's another passion of mine, it's definitely historical stuff. And, you know, anytime you can, you know, tap into kind of nostalgia, you know, that people, a lot of times that's definitely, you want to trigger an emotion from people. And, you know, not that, you know, you're trying to trick them or anything, but I think that, you know, if you can tap into that, then you're doing something right. And I think a story like the one you just mentioned is a great example of that. But and connect the dots for people, or, you know, there's definitely good opportunities to do stuff like that. And a lot of times I think we get, you know, as journalists, we get, especially now with the 24/7 cycle of, you know, what's hot at the time, you know, we get so caught up in the moment where, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll step back and it's like, I just, you know, you need to, if I had deleted Facebook off my phone, I mean, I still have Facebook, but it's like, man, you get sucked into the day-to-day so much that it's nice to step back and write a story like the one you just mentioned, or, you know, something that's a little bit deeper and really take your time on it and work on it. And I think, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the day-to-day, we're just writing for now, which you have to do to a certain extent at a daily paper, but stuff like that's the things that people are really going to remember anyway, so you might as well find your opportunities to write stories like that.
Kyle, you mentioned it a little bit there, but how has social media kind of changed things in journalism? I know you were kind of, you started back when we were still kind of print oriented and the internet was sort of new, you know, at least to journalism, but how has social media now changed things?
Oh, a lot, you know, a lot, definitely. And when I started in the Springfield paper it was the 2000, the spring of 2000. We had one computer in our newsroom that had internet access, and we would use it to check baseball scores and stuff like that. And that just seems like the dark ages now, obviously. But yeah, I mean, when I got here, even in 2008, when I got here, you know, Twitter wasn't much of a thing. You know, I had a Twitter account. It was Star Recruits, and I'd you know, put out some recruiting nuggets and notes on that account for a couple of years. And then I got my own, started my own, and I think it was probably 2010 or something like that. And, you know, Twitter is really a beast. You know, it's something that, again, you can get sucked down the rabbit hole a little bit of checking Twitter all the time. And but it's a good thing in a way that you can get news out there. You can, I think, absolutely, for a newspaper, it's great because you can promote your stories on there. You'll put links out, and you know, I know traffic does better on Facebook than on Twitter necessarily, but Twitter's a great avenue to be able to just put stuff out there. If you're covering a game, you can give updates, as everybody knows, and then it can, you know, you don't want to overuse it, but it is a good thing. That kind of another thing that's happened with that is people recognize who I am now, you know, whereas before, you know, they may know your name from writing, but if you haven't met them before, they don't necessarily know what you look like. So now that's a lot different, because people, more than ever, they're like, you know, they may not say, oh, I read your stuff, and they still do, some people do, but they'll say, oh, I follow you on Twitter instead of,
right.
And I'm kind of like, well, I hope you're reading our stuff still, but that's how they know you now is more from that than anything. But it's been a good thing for me. I have a lot of followers for a high school writer, you know, so that shows, I think, it proves that people around here care about high school sports, and if you can build a following like that, then it's not a bad thing. It can be, like I said, it can be a little bit of a beast, but it's been good.
Kyle Manrip joining us here on School Talk with Emerson, and we've reached the end of our allotted time period here, Kyle, so I'm going to have to let you go. But before I do, you know, you mentioned Twitter. I know one of the most followed Twitter moments for you was your epic journey last year, about a year ago, when you were sitting in traffic on 465 for... How many hours was it?
Oh, gosh. I got home at, I think, 9:30 in the morning or maybe 9 o'clock in the morning.
You had left when?
Nope.
I left North Central at 11.
All right. This is one of those nights where we have one of those surprise ice storms that just pops up out of nowhere. And I think that underscores your passion for high school sports because you sat on 465 all night. Literally,
I'd lose my mind. I couldn't do that.
It was terrible. It was something I'll never forget. And it was funny, you know, because even now people will bring that up. And there for a while, I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't have tweeted that because it's all people would ask me about. But it was the worst conditions I've driven in some bad conditions covering stuff. But you literally couldn't control where your car was going, and there was people scattered all over 465. There was a guy in front of me, a guy behind me right off that exit who, you know, we were kind of strategizing all night what we should do. And, you know, should we try to go? And there just was nobody could move. And it was unlike anything I've ever seen. Right when I got on the highway, I knew it was going to be bad, but I had no idea, you know, at that point, you know, it was going to be an all nighter. You know, if I would have had to do it over, you know, I would have got off on Michigan Road and taken some other city roads, but 465 was just impassable, and it made for a good story in the aftermath. But at the time, it was so frustrating. But we made it through. Luckily, it wasn't super cold. It was like 28 degrees or something like that. So it wasn't unbearable anyway.
Well, I just remember that and following the exploits on Twitter, and it told me. You know, I think we were at Brownsburg or something that night, and we got, you know, it was just a few miles south of you. It wasn't all that bad, but it just shows you what it's like in Indiana this time of year.
So, absolutely. Well, we're coming up on the year anniversary, so maybe I'll revisit it.
The 1 year anniversary, and you're still waiting to get home. No, but it also does underscore that you always have to be ready as a journalist to cover a story that you didn't expect to cover. So,
yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it turned out to be, I remember getting to the, cause I thought I was going to run out of gas. So I shut my car off at one point and, you know, just sat there, and then I'd start it up again just to make sure I had gas. And remember getting to the gas station, the guy in front of me was there too. And I gave him a high five when I saw him as I walked in. So we were never been so happy to make it to a gas station.
Right.
We made it.
Yeah.
We survived.
Well, we survived a show without Emerson. Thanks to Kyle Manrip from the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And by the way, Kyle has a book out, and I wanted to get to that. So if you want to quickly mention that.
Yeah, it's actually the Star. We put together, you know, I wrote some of the chapters for it, but it's mainly a photo history of Indiana high school basketball, history of our hysteria, and you can find that. We tweeted out some links yesterday, so you can find that on our website. You know how to order that and get a. It'd be a great holiday present. I just picked up my copy yesterday, so should be a great read. I haven't even got all the way through it yet, but it's a. Some great photos, a lot of stuff that hasn't seen the light of day for years and years and years, and really some great stuff in there. So I definitely highly recommend it.
Well, we've gone over time, but since I'm the general manager, I suppose that's okay. Thank you once again, Kyle. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, John.
All right. Kyle Manrip from the Indianapolis Star. Thank you very much. Thanks for all the coverage, too, this year that you gave the state championship football team. I didn't get the chance to ask him Did he think they were the number one team of all time?
Well, we'll bring him on here sometime.
We'll have him back. We'll have him
back. Let's just say he said yes.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get out of here. You know what that means, right? I know, right?
Already.
You know what that means. To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be giving back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Just copy the right cat. Copy Kyle Nenrip. He's the right cat to copy.
Do it.
And also, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this message from Emerson. He always says, young men, be a man and
pull up your pants.
I can't stand it.
I can't stand it.
And then he normally rips up his script, but I need the script, so I'm not going to rip it up. So
I'll rip it up.
We'll do that. All right. And also, the views expressed on School Talk are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. All right. Anything else for the good of the cause? Okay, no. Class dismissed.
Take your medicine.
Hold on. Wait.
Do you like Sagan?
No.
Do you like Sagan?
No.
Okay, that's all. That's all I needed.
All right.
We forgot about that.
Take your vitamins, brother.
No, we have to ask everyone, like, how do you
feel? We got to go.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Class dismissed until next week on School Talk.